Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
But we're going to turn away from Boston now and turn our attention to the Common Core Aligned English Language Arts Exam that various grades of New York City public school students took this week. And we are opening up the phones for parents and teachers who can report on the ELA exams. They were different this year, as many of you have heard, and we've been hearing so much fear and anxiety from parents who were afraid of these harder tests before the teachers were actually teaching this new Common Core, more advanced curriculum. People worried about how their children are going to be judged, teachers worried about how they're going to be judged. And so, teachers, parents, how bad was it? Did your students come home traumatized from extra difficult tests, or did they come home and it was another Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday afternoon, Thursday afternoon, and life goes on? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Parents and teachers on the actual experience of taking this new New York State English Language Arts exam. And joining me in the studio, Beth Fertig, WNYC's contributing editor, editor for education, who's been following all this. You can also see her work on our education website, schoolbook.org. Hi, Beth.
Hi, Brian.
Which grades were actually taking this test?
Third through eighth.
And remind us what's new about these exams.
It's called the Common Core, which is a fancy way of saying the tests are measuring deeper, more contextual understanding of texts. They want students to have more critical thinking. That's the easiest way of saying it. So, for example, in previous years, we heard about sort of folk tales, fairy tales, things like that, that would be included as reading passages. Last year, there was the famous talking pineapple question that stumped a lot of kids, and the state ended up scratching it. Well, there are no more of those. Now it's all authentic texts, meaning stuff that you will read out there in the real world, coming from newspaper articles, books, whether it's fiction or nonfiction. But there's less fiction this year than there's been in the past. That's another key feature of the Common Core, is they want kids to get more understanding of concepts, facts, things like that, because that's what they're going to be measured on when they go to high school and college.
So this is supposed to reflect an upgrading of the curriculum so that they are college ready when they get through high school. And of course, if you're going to really produce a population like that, you have to start early. So what are you hearing about the tests? Were they hard?
They were hard. What we're really hearing, a widespread number of teachers and parents are telling us that their kids didn't have time to finish the test, even though the state tells me it's roughly the same amount of questions as last year. In the earlier grades, there was less time for the exams than last year. I don't know if, proportionately the number of questions was exactly the same, but we are hearing again and again about kids who didn't have time to finish, who got very upset. Even high-performing kids, a teacher told me some of his best students in sixth grade were not able to finish the test. I'm also hearing about how the material on the test, it really is harder in some ways, because as I said, there aren't these folk tales, which could have been confusing in their own way. But one middle school teacher told me about a Victorian poem that was on the exam that really confused her students, because they were asked about the purpose of specific lines in this poem, and they got confused about that. And the language was also difficult for them. The kids didn't know what a dormouse was.
Susan in Hartsdale, parent of an eighth grader. Hi, Susan.
Hi, how are you?
Good. She took the test?
Yeah, she took the test. She said the first 2 days were really hard. The third day, not so hard. The second day was when they had the essay questions, and she said some of the kids in her class didn't finish. She said she just barely finished. She's an honor student, so this should be really easy for her. And if it was hard for her and her friends in her honors class, I can just imagine what it would be like for, you know, kids in the regular classes. She was just kind of freaked out by it, because she's used to doing pretty well.
Too hard, in your opinion, or
very hard? Yeah.
But too hard, or a good way to make sure that people are learning at a high level? Or do you have an opinion about that?
I think it was too hard. I've seen the kind of work she's asked to do in general, and it's quite challenging. But and I think that's fine.
But this was another level.
Yes, it was.
Susan, thank you. Bianca in Westchester, you're on the air. Hi, Bianca.
Hi there. I have three children, actually, but two of them, a seventh grader and a third grader, took the test. My seventh grader told me that it wasn't necessarily hard, but the questions were vague. So I have to wonder, what exactly are we testing our children, you know, when we're asking vague questions? There were words that he said it was very wordy, long words, words that he wasn't familiar with. You know, I also have to wonder, I understand that we're trying to bring our children to another level, but I also know that so much money was spent on this test. Why aren't we looking at high schools, which have the lowest graduation rate, taking that money and putting that into those high schools first? I mean, between you and me, I live in Westchester. My children are fortunate. Their friends are fortunate. They do well in school. I mean, who really needs this money?
Bianca, thank you very much. And Beth, she raised the idea of vague questions. And some comments from teachers and parents online that we've seen say that the questions tended to ask more about the author's intentions than the content of the passages. You've seen that?
Yeah, I have. And I want to clarify something that we've heard from or some of the questions that we've heard from people commenting on Twitter with me and on Schoolbook, which is that people are wondering, there are field test questions, which mean questions that aren't counted but are used to determine whether these would be useful questions in future exams. Those are embedded within the test. And some people had wondered, is that what made the test harder? Is that why so many kids weren't able to finish? And I'm told by the state, no, it's the same number of tests, questions as last year. So there weren't extra ones because of these field test questions, and that those questions are used to, make the test better next year. And also they repeat some questions in one grade, like let's say fourth grade, there will be the same question also used in third grade and fifth grade to see if kids at different grade levels are able to comprehend those questions, you know, where they really should fit.
But here's a teacher calling in, also with a thought about the questions versus the reading passages themselves. Stephen Westchester, thank you very much for chiming in. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you teach?
I'm actually a high school history teacher. My wife is an elementary teacher.
Uh-huh.
And, I can just tell you quickly, my wife had three students in her class that when we got to the question section, they just put their heads down on the desk and refused to continue. She told me there's a little box in the back of the test that says refused. I had another teacher whose children were taking the test saying that they had baseball games and kids were kept home from the baseball games because the parents were so upset about the test. I think, you know, the real problem with this is it's just the dramatic way in which they imposed this. They didn't allow a full year of instruction with these new standards in order to then test them. So it's kind of putting the test before the cart before
so,
the horse.
So, Steve, for you as a teacher, where's the sweet spot? Because last year we were talking about tests that were too easy. And a couple of years ago, there was this whole scandal because it was revealed that the state tests in general were being dumbed down so the state could look like it had a higher pass the test rate. Now we're talking about the tests are too hard. So where's the sweet spot?
You know, the sweet spot probably comes with putting a curriculum in, allowing for teachers to give input into the way the curriculum is developing and playing out, having a dialogue. But it seems to me that state ed really does not do that. Most of their consultation appears to be with Pearson and other test companies to develop, implements that they think are going to be consistent with Common Core. There really isn't a lot of dialogue that takes place, at least at the practitioner level.
Steve, thank you for chiming in. Beth?
Well, what I would say is this is a complaint we heard repeatedly from teachers that the test started before the curriculum was fully introduced. Now, New York City says it spent $125 million on materials and professional development, training teachers, in the curriculum, but it wasn't the same as like a full curriculum. What it really was these were materials that were available to teachers. There was professional development. Some schools did a lot with it. They were encouraged over the past 2 years to start implementing these new standards to get the kids prepared for this. Some schools did a tremendous amount. Other schools didn't. It was very school by school, which is pretty typical of this administration. They let principals make decisions, and they don't implement things from the top down when it comes to curriculum. So this is where you see when the rubber hits the road, there are some schools where the kids felt more prepared than others and where the teachers felt more prepared than others.
And what are the consequences of a poor score on these tests?
Well, what we hear again and again is that all kids are in the same boat. So when the city makes promotional decisions, for example, they're going to be using cut scores. Well, actually, they're making promotional decisions before the scores come out. So they've said that they were just going to look at the bottom 10% of kids and how they've been performing throughout the year to hold them back for summer school and then consider whether they should go on to the next grade. But when kids are in fourth grade applying to middle school or seventh grade applying to high school, that's when these scores really count. And the city is saying, look, they're going to be measured against other kids, so it's all relative. We're still going to take, look at the highest performing kids, not just did you get all the way at the top. It'll be relative. So everybody's in the same boat. They're going to be measuring them compared to each other. And the same goes for the progress reports when the city measures the performance of schools. They're going to look at those relative to other schools and look at how kids did from 1 year to the next. But it's a very complicated formula trying to determine the difference between a score from last year and a score from this year. How much did the kid grow? And they have a whole bunch of people working on that.
Corinna in the East Village, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. I opted out with my daughter. She's in the fifth grade, and she has a good friend in the fourth grade who actually took the test and got a report back that it was actually really pretty hard, and she was relieved that she didn't have to do it. As her mother, I'm really relieved that she doesn't have to have this anxiety not knowing where she's going to go for middle school to feel like she might not do well and not be a good student overall.
They'll look at the portfolio of the child's work in that case.
Exactly. So we have a big group in our school. I'm very proud of them. Also fourth grade parents that opted out with their kids of the test. And I say, yeah, our school, this is really amazing.
Corinna, thank you very much. And next week comes the standardized math tests. Same kind of questions pertain to that. And can parents who had their kids take the English exam, if they now choose to opt out of the math, can they still do that? Isn't next week the math test?
Yes, they could do the same thing if they want. There's no formal mechanism.
I'm saying kids who did take there's no formal mechanism. There's no form to sign.
No.
Keep your kids home that day.
If you do, you do.
Or you send them and you say, don't take the test.
Yeah, and then the principal has to, come up with, a room to send the kid to, or, the kid just doesn't come to school. But there's no formal mechanism. This is not sanctioned by the state in any way.
And the test will be similarly changed?
Yes. It's going to be harder in terms of the concepts that are measured in math. And there may be more, strands or more math concepts tested within one question. So maybe a little algebra, a little this, a little that. You might find more of that so that the child is demonstrating that they fully understand the question.
Can apply a variety of math skills.
That's what I'm getting
and
at.
And just one other thing. The New York Post reported that some of the reading passages on the exams were also on the practice materials from the company that the teacher who called in referred to called Pearson. And the Post reported that students at schools that bought those materials got a leg up because they were already familiar with particular passages that actually showed up on the test. Can you confirm that?
Yeah, I spoke to the state this morning about that, the state education department, and what they explained to me was that the people who make the textbooks for Pearson are different from the people who make the tests. And so if there was an overlap, it was purely coincidental because what's happening now is textbooks and tests, as I said before, are measuring authentic texts, stuff that you're going to find out there in the real world. So there's a whole bunch of material out there that they may say is relevant for sixth graders to read. And so it just may end up appearing on both places, but that wasn't intentional. So that's the official explanation from the state. Meanwhile, the state has a contract with Pearson, a five-year contract, which means there's three more years of it. This is the second year. And after that, the state may switch to there's a consortium of states in a group called PARC, which is about 26 states, including New York, that have signed on to this one group that will be contracting with a company, we don't know which, to design new tests in a couple of years from now. So, you know, this we've got a couple more years of this before we switch to another system potentially that's going to continue with this Common Core.
WNYC education reporter Beth Fertig, and parents, teachers, and anyone else, you can continue sharing your experiences on our education website, schoolbook.org. And obviously, Beth and her colleagues will continue to cover these new tests, whether or not the new curriculum has been taught to match these new tests next week as the math exams begin. Beth, thanks a lot.
Thanks. And I'm also tweetable at Twitter, BFertig. Sorry, Beth Fertig. Beth Fertig at Twitter.
At Beth Fertig on
yes,
Twitter.
At Beth Fertig.
Schoolbook.org and WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show if you want to leave a comment there. Coming up, we're going to go back to Boston and get the latest. And we also invite anybody who's on lockdown in Boston right now to call in and talk about the experience. Who would have guessed that a metropolitan area would be on complete lockdown? Well, that's the case because of this manhunt right now. If you're listening in Boston, or if you know someone in Boston who you want to call up or text or send them a direct message or whatever to suggest that they call the show and describe their experiences, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 is the number, and WNYC's Fred Mogul is covering the developments up there, and we'll talk to him in a minute.